This is a WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Elections matter is how Gary Wilson's November 7th essay for Great Lakes Echo begins. Wilson says the results of elections matter for economic issues and the environment, even if the environmental issue doesn't get as much attention and coverage during a campaign. Gary Wilson, a regular contributor to Great Lakes Echo, says Michigan Governor Rick Snyder may be the one to set a regional environmental course during his second term. Gary Wilson, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Gordon. Always good to be with you and the people in Western Michigan.
So tell us why you see Rick Snyder's role as being more magnified than other governors in the Great Lakes region.
Sure, Gordon. First of all, he is related to Great Lakes issues and environmental issues. He is the governor of the Great Lakes state. So at some point, all of these water issues and other issues, but especially the water issues related to the Great Lakes themselves and groundwater, they revolve around his policies and the policies that he sends down to people like at the Department of Natural Resources and in his dealings with the legislature. So he really has set the tone. He wants to be a Great Lakes leader on environmental issues. He's endeavored to do that. He is looked to as a leader in this area, and we'll have to see what he does in his second term.
When you look back at his first term, what stands out to you, both negative and positive?
Well, he was off to a slow start related to the environment. I've talked to a number of environmental activists and environmental groups, and in the first couple of years, he did almost nothing, and that was a source of frustration. But he picked up the pace a little bit in the last 2 years of his first term. Like I said, he did convene the governors from the region and try to set some priorities for Great Lakes issues and also economics issues. That group had been dormant for quite some time, and I give him a lot of credit for trying to revive the governors in the region. Like I said, he didn't get a lot of support, but he made the effort, and that's a good thing.
As you note in your piece, environmental issues don't get a lot of play during the campaign, but Rick Snyder comments on fracking, which came during his one debate with Democratic challenger Mark Schauer, did get a fair amount of scrutiny because he said, "We do fracking right." There was some questions about what he said about the safety record in Michigan. Is fracking likely to be much of an issue going forward in his second term?
I don't know that it will, Gordon. Fracking is here, and when I say here, I mean it's in Michigan and it's in everywhere. It's almost everywhere. It's being, you know, fought out. Battles being fought out about fracking. But I think fracking is fairly well established. And the thing that jumped out for me on Governor Snyder was he has a little bit of a see no evil approach. He was called for a foul as far as, you know, his statements on fracking during the campaign, because he said we do Michigan does it right. Well, he was looking at the way fracking used to be done, where to do a well it might only take 50,000 gallons of water. These wells today can take millions of gallons of water, and I read where one near Kalkaska took 8 million of gallons of water. That's a lot of water in a very short period of time. So that's why the foul was called on him. He's kind of comparing apples and oranges, what used to be done and what is now. And I think he deserved the criticism on that one.
Yeah, the Truth Squad there is Bridge, the Center for Michigan's online news service, regularly examines the statements in commercials, debates, et cetera. On that issue of fracking, however, as you say, it's probably here to stay. But does that make the regulations and the rules that surround fracking that much more important as we go forward?
It's very important, and it's important to get them right. We've got an issue playing out right here in Illinois now. Interests have wanted fracking in southern Illinois for quite some time, and grassroots organizations have been really dug in and fighting it. Now, they've pretty much lost. The fracking bill was passed. That just meant that the battle shifted to making the rules by which the natural gas companies have to abide. That battle is still playing out. The rules were just approved, but the grassroots groups and others are now threatening to sue over the way the rules are going to be implemented. So I don't see this ending soon.
One of the things you say that Governor Snyder needs to do in a second term is put pressure on Enbridge to replace a pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. People here in Southwest Michigan know full well the problems that can be caused by a ruptured pipeline. How big a threat is that pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac?
I think it's a big threat, Gordon. It's a 60-year-old pipeline. You know, it's infrastructure. We all know that infrastructure can fail, and nobody knows it better in Michigan or in this region than the people near Kalamazoo with the Enbridge failure there, that they're still working on cleaning that up and resolving it. So you've got the Straits of Mackinac, one of the one of the things that makes pure Michigan, and this aging pipeline runs underneath it. And boy, that, you know, that deserves some scrutiny. When I talked to Governor Snyder in an interview in May, I brought up the issue, and I was honestly taken aback by his answer. He told me that Enbridge pipeline has a track record of success. And that's where I kind of see him as having this see no evil approach, especially after having, you know, the failure of the Enbridge pipeline in Kalamazoo. I think that he needs to be using the gravitas of his office. And there are some laws relating to the bottomlands under the lakes where he can pressure Enbridge to develop a plan to replace that pipeline, but especially the gravitas of his office. Whether he's got legal authority or not, he's the governor of the state, and he can bring pressure to bear on Enbridge if he wants to.
Is the broader issue of pipeline safety throughout the Great Lakes something that should probably get more attention?
It should. You know, there have been a couple of failures in recent years. Of course, the Enbridge pipeline in Kalamazoo we've been talking about, separate from pipelines, the issue of oil transport, that horrible tragedy in Quebec, Lac Magenté, where the rail car, the train derailed and literally destroyed a town, killing dozens of people. So, and there is some scrutiny being brought to bear on oil transport, pipelines, and rail, and it's much deserved and overdue. You know, we just don't do a good job of tracking these things sometimes.
Should the state be taking more drastic action on the issue of invasive species after there was Asian carp DNA found in the Kalamazoo River?
I don't know that there's a whole lot more that the state can do, Gordon. You know, I have talked about Asian carp a lot, and I find myself forgetting that, you know, it's really a federal government responsibility primarily. But the federal government has an Asian carp policy about 4 years ago after the DNA was found past the electrical barriers here in the Chicago waterways system. Environmental groups asked for a carp czar of a sort, somebody to oversee the federal effort. President Obama did appoint one, John Goss. He came from the environmental community, and he's been coordinating the efforts at the federal level with the Army Corps of Engineers, various other agencies, who also work with the state agencies. There is a policy. It's just not the one that a lot of people, especially environmental groups, would like. Michigan and other states took it to the courts. They've lost it every turn. They've only got one place to go, and that's to the Supreme Court with some of these issues. And legal experts on water that I talk to think that, you know, it's unlikely that they're going to be able to prevail. So I think the states, for the most part, are doing what they can. There's just not a big appetite for spending billions of dollars to separate the Chicago waterways system from the Great Lakes from the Mississippi River. So I think we've got what we've got, absent a finding of some number, a breeding population of live fish in the Great Lakes.
We've spent the last couple of years talking about Asian carp, but again, is there a broader issue here, invasive species as a whole, other types of things that we should worry about getting into the lakes and perhaps doing some damage?
That's a good point, Gordon. Asian carp, they kind of suck the air out of the room when we talk about aquatic invasive species. But invasives go both ways. You know, the quagga and the zebra mussels that were in the Great Lakes, you know, migrated out the Mississippi and various waterways, and they're in California now. They're in waterways all over the West. So it's really about this highway that serves as a conduit for aquatic invasives to go back and forth. It just so happens because the carp are knocking on Lake Michigan's door right now. They're big. They weigh 80 pounds. They jump out of the water. Everybody gets to see them. So that's why they garner most of the attention. But there are other problems, too.
How about the issue of groundwater conservation? What are the things you'd like to see Rick Snyder, as well as other Great Lakes governors, do on that issue?
Gordon, this is one of the most important issues, I believe, that Governor Snyder and the other governors can engage on. Governors and Governor Snyder, they have a lot of direct control over groundwater. They don't have as much control over Asian carp. And the pipeline issue, they're legal, while Governor Snyder may have the bully pulpit. He doesn't have a lot of legal authority because pipelines are governed by the federal government. But groundwater is done at the state level. Michigan sits on just a huge amount of groundwater, and groundwater in the region is often described as the sixth Great Lake. That's how much there is. In this day and age of drought and demand for water, Michigan sits on this huge natural asset. And I don't think a casual approach to monitoring it and protecting it is going to do any good. I see the need to err on the side of precaution as permits are issued to allow for groundwater, be it for fracking or agriculture. Agriculture, a huge user. Then I think there should be a bias for conservation over consumption. There's certain things that the governor can direct to have done, and I think he ought to pursue them.
I'm wondering, as we're in this post-election period where we're talking about what to do next, how much can you get environmental issues and water conservation separated from politics? Is it possible at all, or do you just accept the fact that it's all part of the political process?
Gordon, I would like to be optimistic, and my critics, of whom I have many, criticize me for being a little bit cynical sometimes, but I just think it's intertwined politics. I mean, look what we're already facing with the climate deal that was just announced between China and the United States. I read a number of articles this morning and on it, and it's already been really politicized. So they're intertwined. You fight the battles. Hopefully you win more than you lose. But I think we're stuck with it for a while.
At the same time, is it then frustrating to see politics intertwined with this, and yet at the same time, it doesn't necessarily become a big political issue during campaigns for governor or Congress or president or anything else?
No, it's very disappointing. I watched the town hall debate that wasn't a debate between Mark Schauer and Governor Snyder. I think environmental issues got one question. It was sort of a cursory thing. Voters don't list it among the top priorities when they're asked what's important to them. We tend to deal with environmental issues when they're a crisis. Asian carp is a good example. Groundwater, when it starts shrinking and you can't tap it, then we'll go, gee, we got to do something. Look at the Toledo water crisis because of the algae blooms. That's not a new issue. Nobody was surprised that Toledo had to implement a no drinking water ban for 3 days. That was just a time bomb waiting to go off. But we wait till a crisis happens.
Gary Wilson, as always, thank you for your time.
Good to be with you, Gordon.
Gary Wilson is a regular contributor to Great Lakes Echo. You can read his essays through a link at our website, WMUK.org. Links with more information and longer versions of the interviews on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.